The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is found in Psalms 51, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide my face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquity. Create me a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This ends the reading.
Bill, Pastor forgot the special thing for kids. Kids, come on down. Anybody that talks out of turn is getting this put across their mouth.
Yes.
What are you, volunteering?
Yeah.
There we go. What is this?
Duct tape.
Duct tape. And if you've ever watched the Red Green Show? No? I didn't think that would be high on your favorites. But on the Red Green Show, he can make everything and anything out of duct tape. It never works most of the time, but he really has fun trying to do it and show us how it's done. Duct tape is actually very sticky. And it's supposed to be sticky, so it sticks. Makes sense, right? Scott volunteered for this. You want me to tear off his beard? I got to put this across your mouth here. Yeah, he knows. Scott once dated a girl. Oh, did he like her? Oh, they liked each other a lot. And he tore the tape badly. That must be for your mouth. Am I teasing you? Anyway, we'll try this again, Scott. He really liked her, and they got closer and closer and closer and closer. All the big people know? Together. So close, they thought their relationship would never end. Which is the way God wanted relationships to be. He wants them so close that when that you stick together, you never ever what? Come apart. Right? God doesn't want our relationships to come apart. He wants us, when we stick together, to stay stuck. This girl Doesn't hurt me a bit. This girl said, nope. And she left. What do you notice? And she left a mark on him too. Yeah. In more ways than we want to admit. What do you notice?
Hair.
Hair on it. She took part of him with her. And I don't know where she is now, but there she is.
That's the old hair.
Hi, honey. Hi.
Are you
a
new house?
Yeah. Carter, here. Come here, let me hold you. Good. So anyway, Scott and this girl broke up. She took part of him with her. Now, the thing I want to teach you is a little bit like this. Let me put you on this side. If someone had a dollar, or looks like there's only a dollar. Oh, there's $5. There you go, Scott. If there was $5 that Scott had, and somebody came along and took it, there we go. Sit back down. And then she said, I'm sorry. Oh, you are lucky, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But she never gave him the money back. He would still be out the $5. Right? Right? So if I said to her, you need to, now listen to this word. This is the big word today. Restore what you took from him, what would you have to do? Yeah. She had to restore it to him. Now he has the, what does he have? He's got the money. Yeah. He has the money. No, he gets to keep it. Thanks, Scott. That was worth a few hairs, right? You got plenty of them. Today my sermon is about the word restore, okay? It means to give back what was taken
away.
Can you remember that? To restore means to give back what was taken away. Taken away. You got the right idea. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And it's going to be so, so important that I want little people and big people, obviously, to know what does restore mean? Shh, don't help her. Uh-oh, what? Oh, what does restore mean?
To give back. What is taken away?
Very good. Now say it again.
Restore means, what
did
you say
again?
Give back what was taken away.
There you got it. Second try. All right, here we go. Let's see what they... Oh, they grab goodies for you. Help yourself. Take one. They're all the same.
One of each?
One. One of one. One of one. If you touch, you fish it, you got it. There you go. There you go. There you go, honey. Grab one. Yeah, go ahead, grab one. There, grab one. Here, Daddy's. I know. Listen, I'm going to give one to him, too. There you go, Daddy. There you go. And where's Scott? Here you go, Scott. There are certain rewards, I guess, when you sacrifice yourself for the cause. Remember the first time I saw that done. Usually it's done with teenagers and young adults, and it's an attempt to try and help them understand that if you become one with somebody, you sleep around, you give a part of yourself away each time. And I thought it was a great analogy because you actually can do that when you got girls up there and guys up there. You can say, you put that tape on, you put that on, put it on the next time, and pretty soon the stickiness of the tape disappears. and you go after one or two of the arms that you touch it to, and there's so much hair and so many skin follicles on it that it just falls off the arm. It doesn't stick anymore. And the analogy, of course, was to remind kids, adults, anyone, that in the scope of God's relationship with us, when he says, I want you to be the husband of one wife, and that kind of relationship, he sets that up for us. He's trying to set it up so that it is as sticky as possible. All right? And it's a great analogy, and I think it's appropriate, and it's true scripturally. God does expect that of us, and it is God's plan for marriage. It's God's plan for us that there is one man, one woman together for life. It isn't complicated. It's our sin that makes things complicated. It's our compromise that makes things complicated. But that one man, one woman together, stuck together for life, is the intent of God's heart when he introduced marriage. Now, when that relationship is torn off or it doesn't follow God's plan, portions of that relationship, that person, stays with the other human being. And so that was what I would teach the kids, and I thought that was good, and it wasn't bad, obviously. It helped them create the clear illustration and the reasons why sometimes what kids are practicing doing today in their relationships is they're practicing for divorce, right? Find a guy, hook up, break up, find a new guy, hook up, break up, find another, you understand? That's the relationship, and you begin to understand why by the time they're 18, 20, 30 years old, well, 25 years old, whatever age you want to pick, you understand how far they have fallen from what God wanted for them and how unsticky their lives have become and how uncommitted they are to the things of God, to the intimacies of God, to making a marriage work, because like duct tape, it works best when it's attached the first time and you don't have to tear it off. If you've ever tried to use or reuse duct tape, it frequently tears in the process or it isn't as sticky as the next time, and you understand there are certain ways to use duct tape. Red Green knows them all. Okay? So if you want to learn that, that's where you'd have to watch. But the principle was good. Later on, I began to understand something else very different, and it's the concept of restoration. And the concept of restoration is something that sometimes eludes people. They think, as long as I've cleaned up my relationship, I've got it all in line now. Everything is as it should be. Right? In other words, since I used to be this way and now I'm not doing that anymore, and now I'm in this committed relationship, that should be all I have to worry about. And I go, no. And I didn't know that originally. I thought that's how you did. You clean up your act and everything's fine. And yet at the same time, if I took another piece of tape and connected this to Scott, I would see that there's an immense amount of what represents here on this tape of Scott's personhood. Whenever you become one, whenever you share intimacy, whenever you do those things, you release, you let go of, you give away part of yourself. And so the challenge that I began to find with kids was not necessarily to be super condemning if they've been stupid enough or foolish enough or compromise themselves. You can just use those words, and then pretty soon people just shut their ears and they go, I don't want to know any, just quit picking on me, okay? And you go, instead, I go to the kid and I say, if you have done this, there is a work that God wants to do in your life. Not only does God want to forgive us for our sins, but he wants to restore what has been taken from us. And this becomes the entire healing process. And if we don't understand it, and now you can pop it up on the screen, John. If we don't understand it, we're in that restore part, recognize, responds, relies, we're on restore. If we don't get that, we're not going to understand what ministry is and meant to be. You understand, it's not enough to just bring someone to repentance. You have to bring them to repentance and then let the healing power, the unlimited power of God, restore in them. What did I have them read this morning? As Tim's reading to you, two psalms that you're fairly familiar with. All right? The passages in Psalm 23, he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Well, why would I need my soul restored? I need it restored because it's been given away or torn away or ripped apart or wounded or anything else. And I don't know anything deeper in terms of your personhood than your soul. I mean, talk about spirit, but your mind, will, and emotions is your personhood. And that thing needs to be restored. One of the Psalms is talking about restoration, okay? Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I have to look it up for the rest of it here so I can get to the right spot in Psalm 51. Same thing true in Psalm 51, where he begins, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." The idea there, restore your spirit within me. Another word in that translation, same word in the Hebrew. I remember when I learned what eventually got called inner healing, got called all kinds of names. But I remember the first time I was with somebody and they began to share, not because they were sharing it with me, but because I was part of a ministry situation, and they were restoring the soul of the person who had been broken or wounded or beaten down. And it happened to be in a relationship, something like this, where compromise after compromise after compromise had taken place. And so this person that I was praying with began to pray this prayer, "Dear Lord, please bring back," I'll use the name Susan. I don't think that's okay, I hope. "Please bring back to Susan everything that she gave away to each of those men she was with. Bring it back into her heart. Bring it back into her life. Restore her, Lord, into the woman that you desire her to be." And I thought, what exactly are you doing? Because this concept of restoration was not exactly alien to me, but I thought, how fantastic and yet how strange. What are you really praying for? And the answer was, things have either been taken from you or given away, and God wants to bring it back. Have you ever met people who are still battling over some guy or some girl or some relationship they had when they were in high school or in college? And you're talking about going to the class reunion, wondering if you're going to have feelings for old Uncle Fred, Bill, Tom, Mary, or Sue, whatever it is that you used to have these feelings for. And you got all this stuff going on, and you can hear it in relationships. Sometimes people get caught, they're so unrestored, they're caught in these memories, "If only I would have married," and they fill a name in. "I should have never broken up with," and they fill a name in. And then they're wondering why the relationship they're in now, the marriage they're in now, the intimacy and everything else that they're in now is so compromised, so ruined, so destroyed in terms of what's wrong here. Well, the answer is it's like tape that has not been made sticky again. You keep all these pieces of these old relationships stuck to you, and the tape has trouble sticking. And as a result, you miss out on the things that God wants for you. Forgiveness is wonderful. I don't want to diminish it even slightly, but I want you to understand the word restores. Because God is a restoring God. What has been given away, what the locusts have eaten, all these kind of phrases that you read in both the Old and New Testament, God desires to restore to you the fullness of the glory, the fullness of the praise, the fullness of the worship. And you literally just simply begin to pray, because this is not something a man can do. I can sit there and go like this, obviously, and go, "All right, Scott, that's one." You know, I can't put it back on his arm. All right? If it's going to go and be restored, it's something way outside the parameters of what I can do as a human being. The restoration is a spiritual work of God. to bring into you new thought or restore to you thought as God always wanted it to be, even though you gave it away, sold it away, it was taken away, or abused away, whatever word you want to use. This is the kind of thing that I want you to understand begins to fulfill the ministry. We have a ministry of restoration, not simply forgiveness. We have a ministry that God has given to us that restores, gives back, makes new the person that has been beaten down until one day they can stand before God and understand what it means to be restored. Understand what it means that everything about my life that I've given away, I bring back, I call it back, I ask God to restore it to me. And not only that, it begins to take it away from the person that you gave it away to or it was taken by. We're not just talking relationships and boyfriends and girlfriends, we're talking abuse here. We're talking about situations where a person raises their hand and they start telling you, and you're having this honest and serious conversation, and here it is, this 20, 30, 40, 50-year-old man or woman so wounded because of what happened to them in the past, done to them by somebody wicked and who knows what. And I go, it is enough to know, I don't want to diminish, it's good to know you're forgiven and that God is not holding that against you, but God goes, I wish to restore your soul. I want to give back all of your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. I want to pull them away, give them back to you because I have this message of restoration. And so here, when you understand this in Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I will not go without what I need. I have nothing to want. I mean, think about the implication that for that moment. Just think about it in context of, I just want to be okay again. I want to stop thinking about this man, this woman, this situation, this wickedness that was perpetrated against me. I want to get past these things. You have to recognize when we're ministering to people, gospel includes both forgiveness and restoration. God wants to come and put it back. Remember, when they built the wall, they restored the wall. They built it as good or better than it used to be built. It wasn't just simply the process of getting busy and working at it. It was the wall was restored. The glory of Jerusalem was restored. The things that had to come back were restored because God desires to put back what we've given away. And so this concept, this word of restoration becomes absolutely important. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Why does that psalm appeal to you? I mean, that's one of the psalms. I think of all the psalms I've heard at a funeral, all the psalms that I've heard that people say, that this becomes one of their favorite. And I go, it's because you picture this understanding, this intimacy, this relationship with God who leads, gives back, and restores, who puts you in situations where now you're fed and nurtured as you should be, and all those things. You have to understand, if God doesn't restore, what are you left with? The curse of living with all the junk that's been done to you. The curse of living with all the stupidity of your life. How many times have you said, I can't count anymore. How many times have you said, I wish I knew then what I know now. How many times you should have said it better and you didn't even say a thing. How many times did you get that opportunity even to just say, I'm sorry. I was watching some situation where the two people were coming back to a class reunion, and the one was just unbelievably wicked. And had been beat on and humiliated and stuffed in the locker and everything wicked that you can imagine. And the bully is in the same thing. They're coming back, and as they come back together there at that point, the guy's still terrified. He still gets stomach pain because he's going to be around the bully that had ridiculed him all the way through high school because he happened to be a little bit geeky, because he didn't measure up to what this particular guy said about him. And finally, in this presentation, the guy who was the jerk and the wicked and the horrible man comes walking over and begins to talk to this poor individual that had been picked on so much, and his wife, and the two wives are talking, and they don't know, they don't want to shake hands. They know exactly, they've heard exactly how wicked this person has been, and they're just about to separate, and finally, the guy who had been a jerk turns and he looks at him, and he says, "I need to say I'm sorry to you for all those things I've done to you." And you can have the debate whether he was sincere or not. I think in the presentation he was. But the man still needs restoration. You understand how wounded he was? His manhood was taken from him. His personhood was wounded. He's now a grown man with a child of his own, 7 or 8 years old, and he's still walking around intimidated by the local bully because it hasn't been restored. God says, "I didn't create you to be a man intimidated or fearful by the wickedness of other people. I've created you to be a man after my own making, and that's what I want to create in you, and that's why create in me a clean heart, O God." Why? Because the other one is so stinking nasty. "And renew a right spirit, restore it in me, until all that I have inside of me is a spirit like you want me to have." And God goes, "Yes." God doesn't want us walking around being terrified of the class bully. God doesn't want us walking around being afraid of meeting certain people or certain situations. He doesn't even want us to be afraid to say, "I'm sorry," or confront, or whatever it is that we're supposed to be doing. God wants you to be restored. "I'm going to put that muscle back. I'm going to put your spine back in. I'm going to teach you that you don't have to be ashamed or afraid at all, that you belong to me. You may not have understood it then, but you understand it now." And so the challenge for us is to understand God's heart is not only to forgive, but in that forgiveness to restore people. And it's in the restoration that marriages get healed. It's in the restoration that people start to function without all the bitterness and all of the garbage associated with past relationships and past sins and past wrongdoing. And you got to understand, sometimes the greatest dilemma is not God's willingness to forgive, but your unwillingness to be restored. God says, "I want to pour this into you. I want to bring this back to you." How do you bring it back? "Dear Lord, what I did with that woman was wrong. And I confess it to you right now, Lord. And in your mercy and by your grace, I repent of that. And I specifically name that person. And I ask you, oh Lord, please bring back to me what I gave away. And take out of my life, take out of my heart all of the things that are related to that compromise, to that wickedness." You hear the prayer? I'm praying a restorative prayer that relates specifically to areas of my life or your life or somebody else's life, whether it's that topic or anything else. You speak it specifically, you ask the Lord, you confess it specifically, you recognize what you're asking God to do, you're coming before God asking for restoration. "He restoreth my soul. I want my soul back. I want to be God's man. I don't want to be somebody who was beat down by some jerks at a high school who still walks around thinking that somehow that defined me. I don't want to be someone who compromised himself and did these foolish or wicked things and somehow think that now defines me. And I don't want to just walk around thinking sweet thoughts and ignoring the deeper feelings and questions and fears in my life, because that's not restoration and it's not healing. God has this desire to pour into me a completeness, a healing, a work that restores and gives back." And so you begin to understand, He restores my soul. I want to give it back to you. Right? It's kind of like, here it is. I'm going to put it back in your heart. I'm going to restore it to your life. Our challenge today is to be God's people. In this list that we have, put to back all five again. In this list that we have, you recognize the need in someone. You respond to that need. You rely fully upon God. And you begin not only to rely upon God, but you restore them. You look at them and say, "You're going to be all right. Come pray with me. Let's pray restoration into your heart. Well, what do you mean? Well, let's pray. And I want you to even, I can't forgive them. Fine, then pray, dear Lord, help me to forgive them. Well, I don't know if I can help. Have that. Well, then pray, dear Lord, help me to be willing enough to start forgiving them. Start them somewhere. God has this will to bring this woman, this man, no matter what garbage has been done to him. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing of the Word of God. You have the presence of God in your life. You have been called forward to be people who restore walls, who bring about the healing of a nation, who restore countries, people, individuals. And God says, now you do these things. This is the challenge that's in front of us. Never to quit, not to quit, but to understand the importance of that full restoration. Because then that person can come alongside of you and rejoice. Why? I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. The old has, finish it off, passed away. The new has come. This is not a new thought. It is just the thought that says this is why we do these things. This is how we do these things. And they're critically important in our walk as the Lamb of God and as a Christian church. Pray with me if you would. Restore unto us, Lord, the joy of salvation. Restore unto us, Lord, the joy of salvation. Bring back. Bring healing, make new. Till my arms, my muscles, my mouth, my head, my heart are fully committed to you. So they can be fully committed to the work and the calling of my life. So they can be fully committed to the men, the women, the child in my world. So they can be fully committed to be all that you have called me, Lord, to be. Restore to me the joy of salvation. Restore my soul, O Lord. Make me new in you. Pray this in your name. Amen. As the offering is received.